2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, I am incredibly excited because I spoke to these lads a few weeks ago, but the RC was between us, and right now they are right in front of me in studio because they have come and decided to see us all a little bit early before their upcoming gigs. It is Abs, Richie, Jay, Scott and Sean who have reunited as five for some very special gigs. Good morning, lads. You're very welcome along.
Good morning.
So excited to actually have you in the flesh and in the studio right now. Why are you here in Dublin?
We thought it'd be rude not to come over, say hello. You know, we sold out our first show in like half an hour or something like that, which is like the love that that makes us feel is unbelievable. We've got another date on the 2nd of December that's on sale now.
Let's
get over there, see the Irish, have a couple of pints of Guinness and a crack.
Exactly. And you're right. And you came at a perfect time because the sun is absolutely spitting their
eyes. We're wearing jumpers.
Yeah, I know. And actually, in fairness, Scott, you're wearing sunglasses.
I'm wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, you're really just playing for the weather.
The sun has been following the whole promotion of the tour.
I think that's a good sign.
The sun has got his hat on and he's coming out to play.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable. I love having a boy band in studio. What is it like travelling together again? Is it kind of like a bit of a time warp where you just love it?
It's Spinal Tap.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
It's unbelievable, amazing. Really. I mean, like, you know, I didn't see the boys for a long time. You know, I hadn't spoke to Jay for ages. And it just made no sense that they were not in my life. You know?
Yeah.
And it does feel like we've completed something amazing and we've only just started. But it just feels like a special moment in time. And we genuinely cannot wait to be on that stage. We went to the Free Arena yesterday. And we went on the stage. It was an empty arena, but we went on the stage for the first time. And it was a real moment when 25 years we hadn't been on the stage together as a five piece. And it felt really special.
Yeah. There's going to be some magic.
It's like, you know, in your house when you need to tidy something up and you need to clean it. And it's just, you've got a tight chest and you're just walking around and you're just like, can't bother that. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. But it just keeps bothering you. You're just trying to get on with your day, but it just keeps peppering away at your head.
And then
eventually
you do it.
You do it, you clean it, and you're like, I'm enjoying this. This is good. This is right. I should have done this as soon as I saw it. I shouldn't have put it off.
Yes, sir.
So what are you saying is you shouldn't have waited 25 years to reunite for us?
So that I was carrying that around, the five of it, not meeting like Jay, and I was just carrying that around for years on end.
Yeah.
And now he comes to our hotel room every night and gives us a good scrub down. Gets it all clean.
That made sense, didn't it?
That's what you meant, you did.
You got there in the end and just know where you were going. You took us on a journey.
I didn't know where I was going.
It's actually very profound and very true what he said. And it resonated when Sean said it with me the first time. And it is that you do carry this idea of who you thought they were and who you think you are. And it's not true.
No.
So you're living this almost fabrication to some degree.
This is the best time we've ever had in the band. Yeah. We appreciate like the love that we've received, you know, and all of that. We appreciate each other. Yeah. We appreciate this whole experience in a way that we never have.
We just can't
thank everyone.
But Rich, you think that the time is just right? If you think about it, like when you guys got together, it was in the height of, you know, the pandemonium and the boy band era, and everything was mad. There was no social media, you know, there was a different love for going to concerts and for getting to actually see your favorite boy bands up close. And then you took the break from it, you went off, you lived your lives, you had your families, and now you're coming back and you're going, oh my God, look at what we did, and look at the people that we've brought with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is incredible.
And to have 25 arena shows after 25
that's
years
insane.
Yeah. Is just mind blowing.
Like it
we
is.
We set out to to have 12, and we was already we were quietly confident that we could achieve that. We was like, yeah, do you know what? And I remember I was so nervous the night before. I phoned my wife and I said, like, what if no one buys the ticket? What if we think it's going to be this big thing and it's not? And she was like, Scott, you're overthinking it. It's going to be fine. And then to get to where we are now, as Rich said, 25 shows, it really does feel like Overwhelming, really.
Yeah.
And the party ends in nice Dublin.
Way. Well, yeah.
December the 2nd.
Yes. Oh, so thank you, right? Because I actually have a bone to pick with you. One thing first, one of them, obviously, Scott, is on your birthday. That's your Belfast gig, isn't it?
Belfast, 22nd of November.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, I remember this because that's my mom's birthday as well. So okay. I'll never
it's
forget your
birthday.
It's
my mom's birthday on the 23rd of November.
Oh my God, look at all the November
check
babies.
Should we have a bit of a do?
I think we should have a bit of a do. I'd like a bit of a do.
Spread them.
But when you guys put the tickets on sale, they went on sale at 10 o'clock. We're right in the middle of the show because we're live from 9 till 12. So I was trying to get tickets while I was also trying to run a live radio show on the national broadcaster, and I couldn't, and I was absolutely fuming. And then you put them on sale for December 2nd. I played two songs back to back and I got my tickets. And you should see my tickets. They're unbelievable. I am like right in the middle up at the stands. I'll have a perfect view of the stage.
Awesome.
I cannot
thank you.
Wait.
Wow, thank you.
But it is that really exciting time because it's 25 years, right? If you think about the audience that you've brought from 25 years ago, from like, you know, all the millennials, but then people who have passed this down generations, they're going to be coming with like their younger sisters, they're going to be bringing their younger friends. And I think TikTok is very important for stuff like this because music comes back up. Young ones don't care that this is a song from 25 years ago. They're just like, it's a bop. So like, how does that feel that this like intergenerational audience is going to be coming to your shows?
I think that's the music speaking for itself. Like we were so lucky to be a part of a great era of pop music.
And it was a great era of pop music.
It really was, in all aspects, across all genres. So I think the music's kind of done its talking for us.
Well, I see it with my daughter because she's always on TikTok, much to my dismay. Is that right? She's only 11, so I'm not that keen on it, but she does it. And she actually came across that song. She likes Backstreet Boys. She likes NSYNC, that Bye 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 song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then she discovered that we were going to do it. And she was like, you should have done that, Dad.
Good advice. Good advice.
She loves it. But then it's really, really heartwarming when you see them sort of singing our tunes as well. And they're so innocent. They just love them.
They're just bopping away to them. How does it feel like watching your kids, like listening to your music? Like, do they know? Like,
I get emotional with it because like I've got like four kids, but like, so my older boys have sort of seen it more than the girls have. And the twins are 11 and they absolutely know every word to every Five song. And I don't let them post TikToks, but they do. You know, you put them in their drafts.
Put them in the drafts,
The amount of times they have done every one of our songs on there. One day might release.
She doesn't post on TikTok. Yeah. She's just looking at whatever.
I know, but half the crack of it is actually like just actually recording it. They don't really need to put it out there anyway, but that's...
It's just there in your drafts.
Yeah. Makes them feel grown up.
I know, but it's very cute. But also, it's so incredibly, you know, it's heartwarming for you guys as well to see that they're looking at it and then you're going, okay, well, we're doing 25 arenas.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second, right? Because boy band choreography is something that obviously was huge. Five choreography is something that was really big. How are you finding this? Are we going to get the same kind of dance moves out of you again?
100%. Nothing stripped back, if not more. And now, let me just disclaimer... I'm not saying more choreography, but nothing less than we did before. We probably shouldn't overcomplicate it for ourselves.
More energy, basically. Yeah.
Just what we used to do. But the energy, I mean, it's been 25 years since we've performed together.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pent up sort of frustration.
Let me add it.
We're like genuinely raring to go.
And it's actually breaking through in little things that we're doing. Like, you see Jay, have you seen any videos of Jay thrusting?
I haven't, but it will be the first thing that I'm going looking up.
So we best get on that stage.
He keeps on thrusting all the time. Yeah. We're a little bit worried that there's too much thrusting going on.
There's never too much thrusting.
I think they got the feeling routine, Matt Kirby.
Oh, God, I'm so excited about this. So, Jay, I suppose I do have to ask you about your thrusting. Are you just mad to thrust onto the stage?
It's just a lot of pent-up energy, shall we say, from quite a few years that's decided to work its way out of my system via pelvic thrust.
Totally fair. I mean,
quite
very
aggressively thrusting.
I was about to say you very eloquently put that, but then you said aggressively thrusting. We lost it there.
You can't recover from that. No. There's nothing you can say, is there? You just got to
say, go on with this. Just like the story we had earlier on. Lads, what songs are you most looking forward to performing? Is there one in particular that you're kind of going, I am dying to sing the first beat of this?
I don't think it's one song. I mean, we're lucky enough to have a very large back catalogue of actual hits.
A veritable plethora.
Yeah. and you know, like often people, you know, will sort of listen to it and go, oh, I forgot how many songs they had.
Yeah.
And to some degree, maybe we do as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
You know, I could, what's the statistic about every single we ever released went top 10, I think?
All 11.
All 11 singles.
We're the only band.
The only British band to go top 10 with all of our singles in the UK ever.
That's for outrageous.
Instance, yeah.
That is absolutely outrageous. But it was hit after hit after hit.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about. We didn't really get to do anything with our third album. It's a really good album. Yeah. So, you know, to be able to sing those songs together for the first time and you know, songs that, you know, maybe would have become singles.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite exciting to, you know, chuck some ones that we've never performed in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Everybody Get Up's probably a cert.
Thank you.
Keep on moving. When the lights go out, got the feeling. They're all in.
Slam.
Slam dunk
the funk. Until the time is through.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
All in there.
Well, I mean, you couldn't do 25 gigs without including them because people just want to lose their minds. And, you know, there's a lot of trusting to be had as well. So,
and so do we. We want to lose our minds.
Good. Yeah. And I'd say you will. Do you guys all welcome the awareness around the pressures of the mental health struggles that are, you know, faced by young people in the media who are in the spotlight? Or do you think that more change needs to happen around it?
I think, you know, for instance, I have heard that the artists that get signed now have access to like a counsellor person that's completely independent that they can access every week. And that's just a fantastic step. You know, obviously, the more, take any child star, like how many of them grow up and sort of, do you know what I mean, don't have problems. Mm. So obviously there's something there that needs addressing. I think it has gone a long way to address that.
Well,
though,
the conversation started, and that's the main thing. The conversation wasn't even there back in the 90s. And, you know, and now it is, you know, like people speak about mental health more. We've seen the documentaries on boy bands. And, you know, people watching that in their living rooms have gone, oh, we didn't realise that they think we just do Top of the Pops and we're just always, like, you know, out doing the music. And it's not, there are things going on in the background. And the fact that those conversations are happening now is a much better place.
I think it's wider, though, than just the artists of what they were going through. I think it's quite good for society in general because, not that I'm on a soapbox, I'm just saying, like, in the 90s, everything's good.
Yeah.
There's no problems, there's no worries. So people are going through life and they're thinking, oh, well, when your dreams come true, when you get this, when you get that, everything's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
I think to show that another side that, you know, you can make money, you can have success, things can
go really well.
Yeah. But some problems can still exist and that's okay.
Yeah. And it's hard too because, you know, money doesn't solve all problems and everybody knows that. And
it just gives you options.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Robbie Williams had a really good post last week on Instagram. I don't know if any of you saw it, but he was talking about this, about, you know, his complicated feelings with fame and what that brings and the fact that he was on a flight and it was brilliant because it was like, how much do you owe everybody else at the expense of your mental health? Because at the end of the day, you want to keep your fans happy, but you don't have the time and capacity when you're there traveling with your kids to take photos with everybody.
Well, sometimes you've got only 10% to give.
Yeah.
You can't give 100% at that moment. And, you know, I've been on flights with my children and my wife and, you know, if someone recognises you, of course you want to say, let's have a picture. But if you're deep in parent, you know, you're doing the parent thing, they've got to give you the respect to give you a little while. And then you go and have the picture.
I remember we were doing a sign-in, you know, like when you used to go to like HMV and things like that.
Oh, yeah, I used to queue up for days for these things,
So we were doing one of them sign-ins and obviously, you know, I was only 15, not when the violin's out, but it's just a factual. I was only 15 when the band started, so I don't know how old I was at this time, maybe 17 or whatever. And I was just signing, like, really fast, and I was just absolutely exhausted, just staring down, which is obviously not the right thing to do. If I took my daughter and somebody was doing that and I've queued for, like, 2 hours, I'd be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And this mother, she went absolutely crazy. She was, like, shouting at me, how can you do that? You're rude. You should stare at your fans and you should look at your fans, acknowledge your fans. And she's right. But I weren't It weren't from arrogance.
No. But also there's no rule book. It just happens one day and then all of a sudden you're supposed to know what to do. But I mean, like, you're so right that when people are getting signed now that there is the, you know, not always, but there are help in place and people are talking about these conversations about mental health that you can't get 100% off everybody all the time.
And I think our generation of bands, you know, and it wasn't just us, like every pop band was worked 18-hour days, no days off and stuff like that. And I do think that they've learnt from our generation of bands, and they have, you know, or artists do have more time off to be with their family. But, and
I think we've learned, and it's what we've been saying a lot, like we've learned how to appreciate each other and respect each other.
Yeah.
So back in the 90s, if I only had 10% to give that day, no one would go, Scott, I've got you. I'll get you another 90%, which now, if I'm tired one day and I go, boys, I've got nothing, they'll go, don't worry, man. Yeah. We'll be quiet in the interviews and we'll just smash it out. That's having a little bit of compassion.
To be honest, when he's only got 10%, it's nice because it's more peaceful.
Wait till his birthday.
That's normal mode.
And you're actually like throwing him out of a cannon in Belfast somewhere before you come down to Dublin the next time.
We'll be there. We're having a do, aren't we?
Yeah, we're having a do. My mum's birthday. Rich's mum's birthday.
Boys, look. Today,
December the 2nd, folks. Get yourself down there.
Yes,
Scott's harmonica, mate.
Tickets are still on sale if you want to get them for the 2nd of December in the Three Arena. It is the perfect way to kick off the Christmas run. Abs, Richie, Jay, Scott, and Sean, thank you so much for coming in to us today. We absolutely loved it.
Thanks for the warm welcome.
They're definitely coming now. I've got the harmonica out. There's no way they're not coming to the show now.
We'll be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.